Ephesians 5 and the verse 11 is our text, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Here is a word of instruction given to God's people that is to govern their lives in every particular. It is one of those general statements and commands of God's Word that really impacts every area of life. Not just specifically targeted to one particular activity, but covering everything that the people of God are engaged in and will do. That in everything, we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproving them. The Christian's relationship to the world and their relationship to the activities of the world is one that is a constant scene of contention, tension, and strife in the Christian's life. That interface with the Christian and the world is really one that we can properly describe as a war zone in the Christian's life. That's where spiritual warfare occurs. At that point of contact with the world, that's where there is, if you like, the constant ongoing battle for control between the spirit and the flesh. It is exactly at that point where the Christian interfaces with the world all around them. That is where the warfare in the spiritual life of the child of God occurs. It is a war zone. There is a war and a battle constantly between light and darkness. And in that battle, there can be no compromise, there can be no fellowship, there can be no common ground between the child of God and that which is described here as darkness. Now, for the Christian, all of this warfare and struggle and strife and the whole matter of separation that verse 11 is dealing with, it comes up as a result of having experienced God's saving grace. When God saves a sinner, among the many changes that are made in that sinner's life, there is a fundamental change made as far as our relationship to everything around us is concerned. There is a fundamental change made as far as our relationship with the world is concerned. Now, Paul is addressing believers here. If you go back to verse 32 of chapter 4, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Then into chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savour to God. He's speaking to those who have been forgiven. He's speaking to those who are the followers of God, who are the children of God. He's speaking to those for whom Christ has died and for whom he has made a sacrifice. They've been reconciled to God. Their sins have been pardoned. They've trusted in the work of Christ as the Redeemer, and they've been justified. They're the children of God. And for this question now arises, what about my relationship with everything else around me? What about my relationship with the world? It's changed now. This is not an issue that is of any significance or interest to the ungodly, because the ungodly find themselves in darkness. They don't have to consider what God has to say about their relationship with darkness, because they're not in the light. They don't have to consider the issues that Paul is raising here. It's only those who have been brought into the light, and who have come to know the Lord and to walk in His light and walk in His presence, they're the people that have to consider, how do I now react to the world? How do I interact with the world? What is my relationship to be to the darkness of the age that is all around? This is a real issue for every Christian. At every turn in life, there is a sense in which these words will apply. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you meet, every twist and turn of life's path is to be directed and guided by the truth that is set forward in these words. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It is a word that every child of God must diligently take heed to. It is a word from the Lord to all of our hearts. We are not to have fellowship with darkness. The first thing we want to notice here is that the Christian lives in an environment of darkness. The child of God in this age, in this world, in this present life, lives in an environment of gross darkness. Now, our immediate environment is one of light, in that Paul has been saying here, you have been born of God. You are now children of the light. He uses that expression in verse 8. Walk as children of light. Ye were once in the dark, now you're in the light. The light of God's presence, the light of God's truth has shone into your heart. You have been made light in the Lord. The Christian is one who has light. To use Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4, we have seen the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It has shone into our hearts. We were once blind and in darkness, but now we see and we walk in the light as He is in the light. We know the Lord. We have been enlightened by the gospel. But the Christian, though he has light in himself, he walks in a world of darkness. In Philippians chapter 2, just over a couple of pages to Philippians 2 and the verse 15, again, Paul is instructing these believers in how they are to live, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Well, the Christian is a light because he has seen Christ. He knows Christ. He knows the truth. But he shines as a light in a dark place. The environment in which the Christian is called to live is one of gross darkness. Now, what exactly is Paul referring to here when he speaks of darkness? What is the darkness that is in view? He's not referring to an intellectual ignorance. We sometimes use darkness in that sense when we speak of somebody being in the dark. There's certain knowledge they don't possess, or maybe they're not intellectually very clever. They're somewhat in the dark. But he's not talking about that. He's talking here about a state of heart, a spiritual ignorance of God, and indeed that devilish darkness that fills the heart of man by nature. If you go back to those words in Isaiah chapter 8, in the verse 20, the prophet Isaiah had something to say on this subject. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. No light, they're in darkness. He's speaking here about those who are in darkness. He's defining this spiritual darkness. It is an ignorance and a disobedience of God's law and God's testimony. That's what it means to be in the dark. When Paul is writing about those who are in this darkness, he is referring to those who do not know the Word of God, who defy the Word of God, who follow some other sort of a message, but they're certainly not guided by the law and by the testimony that God has given. And so they're in the dark. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, and the verse 46, the Lord Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Here we have a different statement. There are any number of statements in the Bible that relate to this spiritual darkness, but here is one that indicates that those who do not believe on Christ are in darkness. When Paul is speaking of this darkness, he's referring to the unbelieving world. He's referring to the character of the age in which we live that rejects Christ, rejects His Word. You remember how God called the Apostle Paul to the ministry? And Paul recounts that call in Acts 26 and the verse 18, that God called him to open the eyes of those to whom he preached, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Here is another piece of information about this darkness, because it is the darkness that indicates the work of Satan. His kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. He is the prince of darkness. And men are in darkness when they are in the power of Satan. In their unconverted state, under the power of the devil, they are in darkness. And when Paul speaks about having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, he's really just referring to the kingdom of the devil, that spiritual kingdom to which unconverted men belong. Men in their sinful state are in darkness. The world all around us is in darkness. You see how Paul contrasts here the light with the darkness. God is light. His people are brought into the light. But all around them is this environment of darkness. Now the contrast here is very instructive. If God is light, then all that is contrary to God is darkness. That's what the darkness is. It is really a description of all that is contrary to God. The devil and his work. Those citizens of the kingdom of the devil that are in spiritual darkness. Everything that is contrary to what God is. God is light. All that is contrary to him must therefore be darkness, as Paul is speaking of it here. Now that is the state of the world in which we live. In 1 John 2 and 16 you have there that familiar definition of what the world is. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father but is of the world. All that is in the world and is of the world is contrary to God. It's not of the Father. It's the darkness that Paul is speaking of in our text. Everything that is contrary to God. And that's what we are to keep in mind here. Have no fellowship with anything that is contrary to God. That's the darkness that is in view. That is the darkness that surrounds the child of God in this age. All around us, the world in which we live is a world that is contrary to God. Every sinner as an individual, the enemy of God. One who is in darkness. The devil himself, described as the prince of this world. He's the prince of darkness. This world defined by John as that which is opposite to God, who is light. This world is a world of darkness. Its ways, its trends, its philosophies, its ideas are darkness, contrary to all that God is. That's the darkness that he's speaking about. So whether you think of sin, or of the ideas of the world, or the works of the devil, that's the darkness that Paul has in mind. But notice that he specifically refers to the works of darkness. The works of darkness. Because this darkness, you see, is not sort of an intangible hypothesis. It's not just a philosophical matter for debate. It is something that is real. It is something that is active. It works. The works of darkness. And again, this is simply a description of any activity that has the mark of sin, the world, and the devil upon it. Sin is active. Sin shows itself in works. The devil is active. He works. The world shows itself in its acts and its works. Men, when they act, their actions have moral significance. In other words, everything we do is either good or evil. It's either good or evil. It's either something that is an action that pleases God and is therefore something related to the light, or it's something that is wicked and of the world and of the devil and is therefore related to that which is darkness. Now that is something of huge practical significance to the child of God. Darkness, this spiritual darkness that Paul is speaking about, is seen in practical things. It's seen in the works of men's hands. It's seen in how men do things, how they go about things, what they do, where they go, how they think. That's how this darkness manifests itself. Anything that has the mark of Satan, sin, the world, disobedience to God, anything and everything that is contrary to God and to His Word is in view here. Any kind of activity, doesn't matter what it is, who does it, where it's done, how popular it is, it doesn't matter. If it is something that is contrary to God and to His Word, it is a work of darkness. And the Christian can have nothing to do with it. Paul emphasizes here, does he not, the activity of this spiritual darkness, the activity of sin, the aggressiveness of sin in opposition to the Christian. Sin is not a passive thing, it's active. The spirit of the world is actively opposed to the Christian. It is working contrary to God and working contrary to God's people. Darkness manifests itself in works. We read in chapter 6 of Ephesians in the verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here is the battle that the Christian faces. It is a wrestling against the powers of darkness. This spiritual darkness is active. It is the opponent of the child of God. And Paul would have us to understand here this very simple point, that the child of God lives in an environment of darkness spiritually, that all around the powers of darkness are at work. Sin is active on every side. This darkness is not a passive, active thing. And the child of God is surrounded by forces and powers that are constantly in battle with them. The Christian lives in an environment of active, progressive darkness. The power of Satan and sin is at work in the world, and the child of God must live in the midst of that environment. But as we look again at the text, we notice that the child of God in this environment is to have a specific attitude to the works of darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There are two parts here to the attitude that the Christian is to maintain at all times, to the working of sin and Satan and the world all around them. There are two parts to this attitude that is to prevail in the Christian's heart with relation to everything that is about them in this world. First, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship. Now, in the world, the Christian cannot avoid contact with the wicked, cannot avoid contact with the ungodly who are all around us in the world. And Paul is not forbidding that here. There is a sense in which We must do business with the wicked. We must be neighborly to the wicked. We come into contact with those who are in the kingdom of darkness constantly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and the 9 and 10, let me remind you of what Paul said in those verses. Verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. There is a level of contact with the world that Paul is not forbidding, that God does not forbid. But nevertheless, there is the forbidding here of fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Fellowship indicates association, the idea of common ground and of joint activity, where there is a harmony, a working together, a joining together, a fellowshipping together, and that is forbidden. There is to be, certainly, no spiritual fellowship. The child of God does not and cannot maintain any kind of spiritual fellowship or joint worship with those who are in darkness. The Christian does not worship the same way the sinner may attempt to worship. There can be no joint activity in that sense. And that's exactly what Paul is dealing with in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14, when he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There is no grounds for God's people entering into spiritual fellowship with those who are in darkness. For that reason, it is wrong to pursue joint worship, for example, with those who deny the Bible. There can be no ecumenical cooperation between those who love Christ, walk in the light, love God's Word, and those who deny it, and those who reject it, and those who are of the world, and those who are of their father the devil. There can be no joint activity of that kind. It is wrong, Paul says, have no fellowship with them. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness in that way. There is to be no joint activity of any sort with the world that compromises the Christian's fellowship with God. You can be neighborly to an ungodly neighbor and not compromise your fellowship with God. Nevertheless, there are activities and a degree of joint activity, even with an ungodly neighbor, that the Christian may engage in, and it does compromise their fellowship with God. If that joint activity, even with a neighbor or a friend or a family member who's out of Christ, takes you to places that are not in keeping with God's Word, that's fellowship that Paul is forbidding here, that the Holy Spirit is forbidding us to have. There'll be places you'll not be able to go with your neighbor or your friend or your unsaved family member, for the simple reason that to do that, to engage in that joint activity, will compromise your walk with God and bring you into disobedience of the Lord Himself. There is to be no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The issue here is very simply personal separation to the ways of the Lord. That's just what it boils down to. That as I go through this world, I do not walk with the world. I am called not to walk with the world, but to walk with God. And this is one of those statements in God's Word that emphasizes our personal responsibility to be separated from the world unto God. to walk a course through this world that is separated from spiritual darkness, from wickedness, from sin, from the works of the devil, from the works of the world, from the thinking of the world, the ways of the world. You and I are called to be different. We are called to be separated from the ways that have the stamp of darkness upon them. That is the hallmark of the Christian. In 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, that is with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He is a liar who says that he is walking with God, and yet he's living in the ways of darkness. You don't know God if you're walking in darkness. Those who know God and know the truth walk in the light and keep themselves away from the darkness. Not only is there to be no fellowship, there is to be, in actual fact, a reproving of the works of darkness. And this is the second aspect of the Christian's attitude to the works of darkness that are all around. We must reprove them. It's not enough just not to have part in the ways of the world and the ways of the ungodly. There must be an active witness system. Now, this is an important thing. And it's an aspect of Christian living that I think is very often neglected and overlooked in these days. It's not just enough not to engage in the activities of the world. Now, mind you, for many Christians, they don't even live that way. It would be an improvement if they were to say, I'm not going to live like the world. But even if they did make that improvement, it's still not all that God requires. Because the Lord requires us not merely to withdraw and separate ourselves from the ways of the world and its darkness, but He requires us to witness against it and to reprove it, to rebuke it, to expose it as the shameful, sinful, wicked thing that it really is. This is the idea that Paul has in this word. You see in the verse 13, he speaks about making manifest exposure, shining the light on something. This is how the Christian is to live in this world. He is to be as a light, but he is to expose the works of darkness. He is to shine the light of truth and to be a witness for God, exposing the shameful character of the wicked works that are to be seen all around in this evil age. That is what I am called to be, what you are called to be, a means of rebuking sin. The sad thing is, many of God's people are like Lot, stuck to no rebuke to anybody, because they are living in the ways of the world. Now, this rebuke that is spoken of here is a vital part of the Christian's witness to the world. It is the witness of the Holy Ghost. John 16 and the verse 8, the Lord Jesus, speaking of the coming Comforter, when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. Same word. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It is the work of God's people in whom the Holy Ghost dwells and through whom He works. It is their life and ministry and testimony to reprove the world of sin. The light of divine truth from our life in the power and grace and ministry of the Holy Spirit to expose the works of darkness, to show up the sin of the age for what it really is in the eyes of God. In 2 Timothy, you know the words of the well-known words in 2 Timothy 3, and 15, that speaks of how Timothy from a child had known the Scriptures. And we read in the verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. This is the ministry of God's Word. It's the same word again coming up here. God's Word reproves sin. I, as a child of the light, am called by God not to participate in the works of darkness, but to reprove it. How do I do that? By living filled with the Holy Ghost and bringing the Scriptures to bear, living a life that is ordered by God's Word. It is the Scripture, the inspired Word of God, that reproves. And as Paul continues in that section in 2 Timothy, instructing Timothy in his duty as a preacher, he says in chapter 4 and the verse 2, "Preach the word, this inspired book that is profitable for reproof." You preach it. "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove." Same word again. "Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." This is the ministry that every child of God, every child of the light is called upon to exercise. Your life must be a scriptural Holy Spirit witness against the sins of the environment in which we live. We must be a constant rebuke to the works of darkness. Now this is the Christian's witness. And I want you to notice this, for it is a very important point and one that is mistaken today by so many of God's people. Where does this witness take place? How is it carried out? It is carried out from the standpoint of separation, not of fellowship. Now, you don't need me to tell you that the modern philosophy of evangelism and the modern philosophy of the church is the very opposite. How do we influence the world? We join the world. We get down in the gutter with the world in order to try and reach them. I have heard foolish Christians try to argue that because the Lord Jesus went in and out among publicans and sinners, that therefore the church is justified in acting like the wicked in order to try and reach them. That's blasphemous. The Lord Jesus met publicans and sinners, but he never became like them. And yet you look at the modern church and what has happened, it's become like the world. It willingly molds itself according to the world's pattern in a mistaken effort, so-called, to win them. It doesn't work. You reprove sin. You are a Spirit-enabled rebuke against the darkness of the environment in which we live, from the position of being separated from it. Was Lot a witness to the men of Sodom? Absolutely not. He wasn't even a witness to his own family, for when he finally did go to tell them of the impending judgment of God on that city, they laughed him to scorn. They mocked him. Because the man that has fellowship with darkness can never be a rebuke to darkness. Doesn't happen. You want to be a witness to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, to your city, then live a separated life. Live a life in which it is obvious I am part of all this environment. I am not part of the age. I am not part of the spirit of the age. I am not part of the darkness that prevails. I am going to walk with God, and only as I walk in the light will I reflect His light to a world that is in darkness. It is a vital matter that must be noted and must ever be borne in mind that we can only reprove the works of darkness as we maintain our distance from it. That's the Christian's attitude to the works of darkness. Oh, there is certainly a desire. In one sense, there is a detesting of the darkness and keeping it at a distance. In another, there is a recognition, I want to be a witness to those that are in darkness. But I can only effectively do that as I keep myself separated from the ways of the world and its sin. And what motivates such a life? This is the final thought we want to consider. What is it that motivates this life of separation and rebuke of sin? This life that Paul is urging upon God's people, have no fellowship, but reprove the works of darkness. Well, I think that the key is seen in the word unfruitful. have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Fruitfulness is the chief ambition of Christian living. To be fruitful. To bear the fruit of the Spirit. You see, Paul has referred to this even in the very context. Verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." What does that mean? What does it mean to walk as a child of light? Well, he qualifies the statement in verse 9. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." To walk in the light is to be fruitful. Well, what does it mean to be a fruitful Christian? It is to show evidence of the marks of grace and of likeness to Christ. It is the fruit of the Spirit showing itself in all, look at it, goodness and righteousness and truth. Everything that is good and righteous and true is a spiritual fruit. A fruit of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. And Paul, in verses 8 and 9, is urging a fruitful life. And then by contrast, he says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Because fruitfulness is to be the chief desire, the chief aim and object of Christian living. You remember what the Lord Jesus urged upon his disciples in John chapter 15, using the illustration of the vine and its branches and the fruitfulness from that union between the vine and its branches. John 15 and the verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." That is the quintessential mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Fruit. Fruit. The fruits of Christ-likeness in the life. That's what glorifies God. That's what marks out the disciple of Jesus Christ. John 15 and the verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." That's the purpose of Christ and salvation. Why did Jesus Christ save you? Why did he not leave you to go to hell as you deserved? He saved you to be fruitful. That's his purpose. "I have chosen you and ordained you," or appointed for you, this purpose, to be fruitful. That is the single purpose of Christian living. It is to be the primary concern of every child of God, to be fruitful. I must be fruitful. That is to be our concern. If we would live out the purpose of God, then we must live a life that is fruitful. And Paul is making the very obvious point here. Unfruitfulness in the Christian life is caused by an improper relationship with the darkness that is all around us. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Those works of darkness ruin fruitfulness in the Christian life. Just as you take a plant and you put it in the dark, it'll not grow. It'll not prosper. It'll not produce fruit. Put it in the light, it'll grow. Give it plenty of sunshine, it'll produce the flowers and the fruit, or whatever it produces naturally. There is a fruitfulness that the Christian is to pursue, and that it can only develop in the light. You know, many of God's people today, and it's the tendency of the flesh within every Christian, but many of God's people seek out what we could call the twilight zone. That sort of grey area at the edge of the path. If we think of the path of the just as a shining light, right down the middle is the brightest place. I feel that's where God has called us to walk. And as the world becomes increasingly dark, the child of God should get further and further away from the edges of the path and live as close to the middle as it's possible to be in the bright, clear places. But it seems that so many times God's people seek out the twilight zones, the grey areas. Oh, they're not altogether in the dark, but they're not in the light either. They're not going to be fruitful there. You know, perhaps, and I'm quite sure you know better than I do, since I'm no green thumb, But there are certain plants, if you plant them in the shade, they're not going to grow. By their nature, they need full sun. Plant them in the shade, well, they'll maybe not die, but they'll certainly not thrive. God's people cannot thrive in the shade. They cannot thrive in the grey twilight zone of fellowship with the world. It doesn't work. It can't work. Because to have this fellowship with the works of darkness is to have fellowship with that which is unfruitful. And when any Christian pursues a course in which they live cheek by jowl with the world rather than living cheek by jowl with God, they are condemning themselves to a life of unfruitfulness. The fruit that they bear will be stunted and withered and poor. Christ-likeness will be minimal. For it'll have to be minimal in order for you to get along with the world. Unfruitfulness is caused by an improper relationship with the world. And this is what Paul is aiming at here, to promote this line of thought within the Christian. God has called me to be fruitful, and so therefore I must cut off all improper associations with the works of darkness, wherever they are found, whoever it involves, whatever it involves. I must not, I cannot have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness because I want to be fruitful. This is what drives this fellowship and this desire to reprove the works of darkness. It is a desire to be fruitful. The more separated unto Christ, the more separated from the world we are, the more fruitful our life will be. The more of the fruits of the Spirit, the more of the evidences of Christ will be seen in us. The greater the distinction, the stronger the line of demarcation between me and the world around me. When I am separated from sin and darkness and take a stand against it, then I will be fruitful. For then I will be in the presence of the Son of Righteousness. Then I will walk in the light as He is in the light. Then I will be most like Christ. To walk, think of that statement that John makes in 1 John 1 and 7. If we walk in the light as He is, that's Christ-likeness. You can't be like Christ, which is what spiritual fruitfulness is all about. You can't be like Him. Walk in darkness. Or walk in the twilight zone? How close are you to the kingdom of darkness? Some of God's people seem to have the idea that they want to live as close to the world as it's possible to be without actually being part of the world. Or they want still to retain their heavenly citizenship but live as long as they possibly can in the devil's territory. You know how it is if you come into a country. If a foreign national comes into this country, they have a certain period of time in which they can live. And then they have to go because their tourist visa expires after a certain period of time. And in order to retain their own citizenship, they have to spend a certain amount of time in their own country. So often the Christian is deceived into following that notion that I can carry a passport to heaven and live in the devil's territory. Paul says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. How close are we to the ways of the world? Or do we walk in the light as He is in the light? Do we seek to walk where the light is clearest, or do we content ourselves with the twilight zone? Well, it's a grey area. The Bible doesn't expressly say that it's wrong. I mean, it doesn't say it's right either. But it means I can keep on good terms with the world. So I'm just going to live and walk in the grey area. It's always a very disturbing attitude for the child of God to have. It shows an affinity with the world that is so contrary to being fruitful in Christ. May the Lord help us to take these words to heart. And more, as the day darkens all around us, to retreat further and further from the world and its ways, to become closer and closer to the Lord and His ways, that we might indeed walk in the light as He is in the light. May the Lord write His word in our hearts for the Savior's sake.